You're listening to WMIE, Coco, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Coco Beach, and Vieira.
WGOD Radio. All truth, all the time. Welcome to WGOD Radio with pastor and Bible teacher, Dr. Paul Esposito. God is always broadcasting, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. As we tune into His frequency, we will daily hear His voice and receive instruction, encouragement, and daily direction in our lives. Now here to help tune you in is Paul Esposito.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker, Paul Esposito here. Good morning. Happy Monday to you. Thanks for taking 15 minutes of your Monday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. Lord God, we thank you for another day. Lord, I praise you today. Thank you for all these listeners that have tuned in today, not to hear me, but because they're hungry for you and for your Word. And I pray that all those that have tuned in won't be disappointed. Meet us all right where we're at here today. Speak to us through your Word. Lead us and guide us. Help us to be doers of your Word and not just hearers. In Jesus' name, amen. You are going to hear something I just preached yesterday at Island Community Church. The sermon is entitled Holy Communion the Right Way. Did you know that there's a right way and a wrong way to partake of Holy Communion? You can read about it in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. That's what we're going to do here in this sermon that'll play at least Monday through Wednesday, maybe Thursday. The Apostle Paul is going to strongly admonish the Corinthians for taking it the wrong way. And we see some shocking things about what happened to the people there at Corinth for taking it the wrong way. The Bible says many people were weak, many people were sick, S-I-C-K, sick, and some people sleep. No, excuse me, many sick, the text says, which shocked me reading it this time. This is the first time I've noticed that. That's not the word some or few, it's the word many. Many were sick, many had fallen asleep, which we know is a euphemism for death. Many had died and many were sick. Why? Because they were taking communion irreverently or flippantly. That's what this message is. This is part one now of Holy Communion, the right way.
What better time to preach and teach on Holy Communion, the Lord's Supper, than this week when we partake of it? Now, the Lord's Supper is one of the two ordinances of the church that we Baptists recognize. The other, of course, being baptism, right? Both of these we are instructed to do perpetually. It's the Great Commission. Go into all the world and teach the gospel to everyone, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. It's in our church statement of faith as well. And baptism and Holy Communion. It's crucial for us to understand how communion is and is not to be observed. And this passage is a thorough study on this subject. I'll never forget the day, some 9 years ago now, that CJ and I visited a church in Melbourne. And prior to the start of the service, I felt a tap on my shoulder. And much to my surprise, it was a basket with communion in it heading my way. And people were scarfing it down like candy without even a word being said. And then the music leader, he put his trombone down and haphazardly presided over it, and he told everyone, eat, 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 Reminds me of the old Italian mama. Eat, you're skinny. Or else on the Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer, you see on Christmas, eat, Santa, eat. And that was the second maddest I've ever been in church. Okay. Everyone now wants to know what was the maddest time I've ever been in church. The maddest time I've ever been in church was one Easter when I went to a church in Cocoa. And at the offering time, the offering basket was these Easter bunnies. Was these plastic Easter bunny baskets that they used to hand out for the offering. And wow, was I mad when I left that church. It was like Spot on the Munsters, you know? Remember? Ooh, the fire, smoke coming out of his nose. Now, that church in Melbourne, being stylish, didn't want to offend any of the people there with what they considered to be a bunch of old religious stuff. And Paul here today, in this passage we're about to get into, is saying, you better be careful how you take communion, because it's not just a bunch of old religious stuff. It's sacred. And it's holy. Hence the name, Holy Communion. Because although the method might be different in a sinful way in which it was taken, as we're about to see, the warning remains the same. The warning is this: irreverence towards God brings judgment. Irreverence towards God brings judgment. Now, we're going to look at 5 points here today regarding communion. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. Point number one, blank on your handout, would be the rebuke. The rebuke. Paul rebuked the way the Corinthians took communion. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 17. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you, since you come together not for the better, but for the worse. Now, Paul rebuked the way the Corinthians took communion. This was more like unholy communion, or coming together for the worse. In verse 2 of chapter 11, he praises them. He says, now I praise you, brothers, because you remember me in all things, and you hold fast in the traditions which I've handed down to you. But here, in dealing with the Lord's Supper, he declares to them in no uncertain terms, I praise you not. Verse 17, now in giving you these instructions, I do not praise you, since or seeing you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. Like that church in Melbourne I mentioned earlier, this, which we're about to see, is coming together for the worse. They ought to not take communion at all, than to take it irreverently. Because irreverence towards God brings judgment. You see, let me say that before we move on, the problem is we don't see people dropping down stone cold dead anymore like you used to in the book of Acts. However, as we're going to see in this text, just because you might not see it anymore doesn't necessarily mean that God does not hold people accountable for their actions. Because he does. Neither does it mean that God has mellowed out over time like a doting grandfather, because he hasn't. He's the same. All right, point number one, the rebuke. Paul rebuked the way the Corinthians were celebrating communion. Point number two, the corruption. The corruption of the Lord's Supper, verse 18. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions. Those are two key words. Divisions, factions. Division, factions. There must be factions among you, so that those that are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, It is not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One is hungry and another is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those that have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. Wow, is he mad at these guys? Those two words again. There are two different Greek words. The first one for division is the word schism. The other one, sect, S-E-C-T, or a faction, depending on your translation, is the Greek word. You ready for this? The word is heresy in Greek. Just like it reads in the King James Version. A schism is an actual tearing apart. Heresy, here's a good definition of heresy, surprisingly. Heresy can be a divergent opinion, but still be part of the whole. One can hold different views than the majority, like many false teachers do, and still remain in the same body. But he is a heretic. Now, with that knowledge, let me read again verses 18 and 19. For first of all, when you come together in church, I hear that there are divisions, schisms, among you. And in part, I believe it. For there must be heresies among you so that those that are approved may be made manifest. Why must there be heresies? So that those that are approved will be recognized among all of you. What an astounding statement that is. Why are there heretics in the church? Hear me out, church. Why, oh why, are there heretics in the church of Jesus Christ? Answer, to make plain and clear those that are truly preaching and teaching the truth. Matthew 13, 24, Jesus says, the kingdom of heaven is like a man sowing good seed in his field. But while the men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. Now a tare is something that looks exactly like wheat. And you can't tell the difference until either A, you become an expert, or B, it starts to grow fruit. But once you spot one, you'll never forget one. I remember living in Colorado, again, I said to my wife at the time, I saw a little yellow flower, and I said, oh, what a cute dandelion. And my wife said, that's a weed. I thought it was a flower. And then after I recognized it, I saw them everywhere.
Thank you for listening today to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. We believe that there is no stopping the child of God that is walking with him daily and is tuned in to his frequency, which is the Holy Spirit, who uses the Word of God to transform us daily and to speak to us. For more information on WGOD Radio, please check us out on the web. You'll find us on Facebook at WGOD Radio and on Twitter at WGOD Radio. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.